Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you that in a few weeks, it won't be 105. Thank you that that you created all the seasons and they all have a purpose, even though we may get uncomfortable when it gets super hot. You did it for a reason and you know better. And we just need to ask you, hey, what's all that hot weather for, God? So thank you, Father, for creating this world for us. Let all the words come out of my mouth today be your words and not my words. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, God talks to you all the time. It's weird. Okay, so I had this. It's funny because I thought to myself, I'm almost, you know, I'll be 50 in a couple of years. There was this thing that I saw and I wanted to buy it and I know I didn't need to. And I kept wrestling with it and I'd see ads for it online. I'd see billboards for it. It just kept coming back and I just had this urge. I needed to go out and buy it. And I'm like, this is stupid. And I thought, I am way too old for this to be happening to me. First of all, I'm a pastor. What kind of idiot pastor am I that I could let something like this? And I went to the store and I stared at it. Yeah, there it is. And then I left. And then the next day I drove and I sat in front of the store. I thought, it's in that store. This is stupid. David, what is wrong with you? I kept saying, God, just take this desire away from me. I don't need this thing. I don't need it. And it didn't. He didn't do it. And then finally, the last day, I said, God, I can't do this. I have this dumb desire in my heart for this stupid thing that I don't need. I don't need to waste money on. I can't get rid of this desire. You're going to have to do it. It has to be all you. And then I drove off. And I was like, and I laughed at the devil. I was like, you lost. And I mocked him. That's fun. You guys ever mock the devil? Devil, you lost. And I thought, you know, God brings that scripture in James to mind where it says, you know, it's gonna test you and then you're gonna win and it's gonna be awesome because then you could just spit in the devil's face. Devil, you don't get to win. I'm a child of God. He knows what's best for me. And it's funny because you think, God, I told you could take care of this. Why aren't you taking care of this? Please take this desire from me. I give you permission and it's still there. And then the scripture goes through your head, well, I can do it because Christ is in me to do it. And then you realize that's stupid. The Bible says that he is in you to will and to do. That doesn't mean that you can will it and you can do it. That means that he is in you and it is his will and it is his doing and he's going to do it through you. You just have to give up. You go, oh man, I cannot do it. I cannot do it. Even though I have the living God inside me, I am still nothing. I cannot do this. I don't have the ability to. I'm selfish and sinful and stupid. And then afterwards you go, hallelujah. And now you say, I'm righteous and I'm holy and I'm awesome. it's such a dichotomy. It's like, wow, I'm an idiot, but I'm awesome at the same time. So it's hallelujah. And then it's fun. And then the devil will kind of poke you and go, you sure? I'm like, yeah, no, you lost. You sure? Yeah, you definitely lost. Dude, it's gone. I gave it to God. I said, God, you got to do it. And God took care of it. So you don't stand a chance, devil. So, it was fun because in the midst of it, I thought, even if I do fail, I said, I still win because God still loves me. So it's fun. It's fun to wrestle like that. Even when you're old and you think, God, this should not be a thing anymore. I am way too mature for this. So it's real. I assume that will, you know, things like that can plague you till the day you die. I don't know. It's fun. And then you got to realize who God is and see his amazingness. See his plan for this world and for you to understand things. I always think he kind of allows things like that happen when he's trying to grow me up some more or show me something or, you know, because he'll tell me something and then it seems like he disappears. And you're like, God, where are you? And then he's just waiting for you to, you know, give up. Because we do. We like to do things on our own. We like to do it in our own strength. And that's something you got to stop. Stop doing it in your own strength because you can't do it. And you think, well, man, that's horrible. I know I've told the story about Mary's brother, Tom. years ago. It was probably 15 years ago, and we were up there visiting, and I was getting to use all of my father-in-law's farm implementations, which is fun. I had a backhoe, and we were digging out in the hole, and he's like, "Yeah, I just did really well on this test." I was like, "Well, praise God." He goes, "What does God have to do anything with it?" I was like, "Well, He brought everything back to your memory." He goes, "Well, I studied." I'm like, "Well, that was all God," but I just let it go. But it's like it's God. God does anything good that comes out of us is God, and all the rest is us. So it's good to know that. The thing is, it's very. If you need to be good, then that's depressing. But if you realize you can't be good and God can be good through you, that's amazing. Because you're like, "Hey, man, I can do awesome things because God's going to do it through me." Hell yeah. I mean, He's the creator of the universe. It's fun. I like to watch, I'm not big into apologetics, but I like to watch videos on people debunking evolution and stuff. And I thought one of the coolest arguments I'd ever heard, and it only applies to believers, but because there's a lot of believers that believe in evolution because they're taught evolution from the time they're a small child, you know, on up. So you just believe it. And the guy said, if you're a Christian and you believe in evolution, you have to understand this. There was no death before sin. So there couldn't have been around millions of years because there was absolutely no death before sin. You're like, "Oh, okay. Well, there you go." So that's a good argument. If you're ever talking to a Christian that believes in evolution, just there's no death before sin. So the dinosaurs couldn't have died, the lions, and, you know, it didn't happen. And the second, if you have a scientist and he's smart, you go, "Well, just look at carbon 14. That's another one. So, again, this has nothing to do. I'm just having fun right now. I'll get to my sermon here in a minute. God created this world, and His entire word has to be real. If it's not real, then it's like you can't stand on anything. If parts of it are lies, then how do you know what's a lie and what's the truth? If God said He created the world in 6 days, and that the world is, if you genealogically look back, that the world is only 6,000 years old. Another interesting fact has to do with population growth. It doubles every so often, and if you do it mathematically, from the time that Noah got off the ark, there should be about 8 billion people on this earth. How many people are on this earth right now? About 8 billion people. So it's like, it's perfect. I mean, it's like mathematically, that works out. Otherwise, if it were billions of years old, this would be overrun with people. So, I love it. Another thing, this is one of my favorite scriptures. It's somewhere in, I don't remember where it was, I wrote it down. But it talks about people say, "Well, you know, it's climate change and the world's falling apart and we're going to not have crops and all this kind of stuff." I think it's in Psalms, and it said, until God comes back, there will be summers and winters and planting of seeds and harvesting of crops. The Bible says that. So we can't ever destroy this earth enough so that we can't use it. God said, there's always going to be the seasons and you're always going to be planting and harvesting until I come back. So we can't do enough damage. I love how this earth that God created heals itself every time people say, "Oh no, it's destroyed forever." And then you find out, "Oh, look, it healed itself. How did that happen?" It's like, because God is smart. He designed it so well. He knew all the dumb things we do, and He already put in protective measures. So I've been watching a lot of random videos about the human body and stuff and how we destroy it and how to heal it. I love it. I love it when you listen to people, because some people will be like, "Oh, you're doing all this stuff and it's bad." And you're like, "Okay, how does that help me?" But you listen to people and they go, "This is bad, but here's how to fix it. You know, you did this to your body, but if you eat this food or do this, you know, you can." God designed us to live for a very, very long time. These are still the same bodies that He created in the beginning. There's a lot of garbage in this world, you know. Disease and stuff, and we eat garbage food. And our government that's supposed to protect us allows the growers to grow junk. Even the healthy food is junk because it doesn't have any nutrients in it. But that's okay. God has a plan, and He has a solution, and He's given us all the tools we need to do everything. We just need to listen to Him. That's the problem, is we don't listen to Him. We listen to man. We go, "God, what's the solution to this?" I know every man that ever created something, or woman, fantastic. It's because they were listening. God, here's a problem. What's the solution? And would God go, here's the answer. It's like, wow. I mean, that happened with George Washington Carver. It happened with Alexander Graham Bell. It happened with Thomas Edison. They would get, you got to, you know, there's a problem. You see a problem and you go to God and you go, there's a solution, God. What's the solution? So, life is fun. And we're missing out on some of the best parts because we're not asking God how to do stuff. He set it all up. I started a garden page on Facebook. And it was funny because I was talking about the difference between organic and conventional. And man is so brilliant in his mind. He said, well, we can just give the nutrients right to the plants. We don't even have to worry about the soil. But the problem is now the soil is dying and it's dead. But if you feed it organically, then you build up the soil and the soil feeds the plant. I hope I haven't already said all that. So anyway, it's God is smart. And it's fun to figure his deal out. And we should be seeking that. What's your plan, God? And then, you know, anyway, hallelujah. I'm going to get into the scripture. I can go on forever. Life is awesome. All right. John chapter 18. Having said these things, Jesus went out with his disciples across winter stream, the Kidron, where there was a garden into which he and his disciples entered. And Judas, the one betraying him, also knew the place. Isn't it crazy that Jesus knew ahead of time that Judas was going to betray him? Why don't we ever think about that? Jesus already said, "Hey, one of you guys is going to betray me." It was like, it's because Jesus was in communion with God. He knew. When you're in communion with God, like Holly was saying, like Monty was saying, and David was saying, he'll just do things supernaturally. He'll tell you stuff that you're not supposed to know in the carnal. He'll just tell it to you in the spiritual realm. And he entered, and Judas, the one betraying him, also knew the place because Jesus many times assembled there with his disciples. Therefore, receiving a cohort and under officers from among the chief priests and the Pharisees, Judas came there with torches and lamps and weapons. Then knowing all things come upon him, Then knowing all the things come upon him, going forth, Jesus said to them, "Whom do you seek?" And they answered, "Jesus the Nazarene." And Jesus said to them, "I am." And Judas, the one betraying him, also stood with them. And then when he said to them, "I am," they departed into the rear and fell on the ground. And then again he asked, "Whom do you seek?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And Jesus said, "I told you that I am. And then if you seek me, allow these to depart, that the word might be fulfilled, which he said, 'Of those whom you gave to me, I lost not one of them.'" And then having the sword, Simon Peter drew it and struck the slave of the high priest and cut off his right ear. And the name of the slave was Malichus. That's a random thing to put in the Bible. That guy must have been important. Then Jesus said to Peter, "Put your sword into the sheath. The cup which the Father has given me, shall I not at all drink it? So he's like, this is part of the plan. Peter, relax. It's like, we got to trust God. They're about to take you, Jesus, and they're going to put you on a cross and they're going to kill you. Jesus is like, this is part of the plan. You're like, no, this seems awful. Jesus is like, this is part of the plan. It's like Monty was saying, we may suffer, we may die, but it's part of the plan. The thing, this earth is not, it's just a little tiny nothing. It's just, we're headed to much greater things, and we're worried about this earth. You worry. You're like, hey, I can't, if I die, I can't, provide for my wife or feed my child or make sure that no jerk does anything to my child in the future. But God's like, hey, you don't think that I've already prepared for that? That I already have a solution for that? You don't think that if I have this for you to do, that I wouldn't lay out everything else? Because, I mean, God, I'm a father, but God is the father. He loves Gabby way more than I do. He loves my wife way more than I do. He already knows. And he's not going to just, you know, do this to me and then allow bad things to happen to them. So Peter, hey, put your sword away. This is part of the deal. It's got to happen. And it doesn't seem right. You're like, no, Jesus, you should live forever. He's like, no, I got to die so that you can live forever. Then the cohort, even the commander and the under officers of the Jews together, seized Jesus and bound him. And they led him away first to Ananias, for he was the father-in-law of Caiaphas. I always think that Jesus would have gone without them cuffing him if they did it anyway. It's like, they're like, they were scared of him. They were scared of this guy. This guy had some swagger. You know, he could have said anything to the people and they would have just come after him, come and rescued him. But he went freely. Who was the high priest that year? And Caiaphas was the one who had given counsel to the Jews that it was advantageous for one man to perish for the people. That's funny. Isn't that funny? He doesn't even realize what he's saying. It is advantageous for one man to die for the people, but he was thinking evil and God was thinking good. This guy needs to die so that all his people can be saved. You know, they don't hear this garbage. And God was like, this guy needs to die so that you guys can receive his blood and spend eternity with me. See how God used somebody and they didn't even know that he was being used correctly. He even said the right thing. He didn't even know what he said, but he said it. This guy needs to die so these people can all be saved. And Simon Peter and another disciple followed Jesus, and the disciple was known to the high priest and entered together with Jesus unto the court of the high priest. But Peter stood at the door outside. The other disciple who was known to the high priest therefore went out and spoke to the doorkeeper and then brought Peter in. And then the maidservant, the doorkeeper, said to Peter, are you not also the disciple of this man? That one said, I am not. You don't know. I mean, we have no idea what's going through his head. You know, he probably didn't want to die, probably didn't want to suffer. I don't know. Maybe he thought, well, if I die, then who's going to rescue Jesus? You know, we don't know what was going through his mind. But Jesus already told him, hey, you're going to deny me three times. And you think, God, there's no way that's going to happen. There's no way. And it did it once. And you can imagine, it just pricked him. Oh, my gosh. I just did exactly what Jesus said I was going to do. It's like, Jesus already knows this. He knows what we're going to do. And he loves us anyways. You're going to mess up. No, I would never mess up. Trust me, you're going to mess up. Okay. But I love you anyway. Are you not also, I am not. Now the slaves and the underservants were standing and warning, having made a fire of coals. For it was cold, and Peter was with them, standing and warming himself. And then the high priest questioned Jesus about the disciples and about his teaching. And Jesus answered him, I publicly spoke to the world. I continually taught in the synagogue and in the temple, where the Jews continually come together. And I spoke nothing in secret. Why do you question me? He's like saying, I didn't hide anything from you. I said everything that I wanted to say out loud. You're not going to get any secrets out of me because I already shared my heart. I shared everything. That's important. When someone is close to you, if you don't share your heart, then they don't know what's going on in your mind. It's good. The fellow that I work with, we sat in his truck the other day. It's funny. We got to a job and we walked it and then we went back. And we just fellowshiped for like an hour, hour and a half. And it was awesome. And it's good because we can just be open with each other. And we can tell each other just stuff. And it's good. That's the way we should be with God. Just tell him. I mean, he already knows anyways. He can see everything inside your mind and in your heart. But just share. So Jesus didn't hide anything. I continually taught in the synagogues and in the temple where the Jews continually come together, and I spoke nothing in secret. Why do you question me? Question those hearing what I spoke to them. Behold, these know what I said. But on his having said these things, one of the under officers standing by gave Jesus a blow with the palm, saying, do you answer the high priest this way? He's like, that would be so rude. You know, this guy, don't you know who this is? We still have that garbage today. People, I know, it's funny. I used to hang out with Dev Evans' son, and people would come over. I don't know if you guys know who Dev Evans is. He's a preacher over at Bethesda. People would come over, and they'd be like, oh, it's the pastor of the church. It's like, dude, he's a man like you're a man or a woman. It's like, there's nothing special about that man. There's nothing special about my father. We're just broken, and we know that we can only do things because God, you know, you are just as precious to God as that pastor or that man of God. So this guy thinks this high priest is something special. Don't you know who you're talking to? This is the high priest. This is the Pope, or this is, you know, whatever. It's like, you're a man. You're a man like any other man. You know, you put on your pants the same way I put on my pants. So, Jesus answered him, if I spoke evilly, bear witness concerning the evil. But if well, why do you strike me? He's like, did I say anything bad? You know, look at my words. What did I say? Tell me. And then Ananias sent him forth, having bound him to Caiaphas the high priest. And now Simon Peter was standing and warming himself, and therefore said to him, are you not also his disciple? And he denied and said, oh, I am not. One of the slaves of the high priest, being a relative of him of whom Peter cut off the ear, said, did not I see you in the garden with him? And again Peter denied, and immediately the cock crowed. So it's fun. It's fun. Jesus said, you're going to deny me, and it'll be before the rooster crows. That was very specific. I like that. And then they led Jesus from Caiaphas into the praetorium. And it was early, and they did not enter into the praetorium that they might not be defiled, but that they might eat the Passover. And then Pilate went out to them and said, what accusation do you bring against this man? And they answered and said to him, if this one were not an evildoer, then we would not have delivered him to you. So they didn't even answer. They just said, he did wrong. What? No, he just did wrong. And Pilate said to them, you take him and you judge him according to your own laws. Then the Jews said to him, it is not lawful for us to put anyone to death. And that the word of Jesus, which he said, might be fulfilled, signifying what kind of death he was about to die. So it's like, we can't kill him. He needs to die. We're not allowed to kill him. God said we can't. What a bunch of legalists. God said we can't do that. We're not allowed to murder people. We can't do that. You got to do it. You know, it's like they didn't want the blood on their hands. They wanted somebody else to do it. You're the Romans. You guys don't even matter to God. You guys kill him. Then Pilate again went into the praetorium and called Jesus and said to him, are you the king of the Jews? And Jesus answered him, do you say this from yourself, or did others tell you about me? That was a good question. He didn't say yes or no. He's like, where are you getting this information? It's wisdom when you're dealing with the world. I've said this before, but there's a guy I listen to, and I know that God put me onto this guy because I needed to understand that, because I am very just straightforward. If someone says to me, I just take it and I, you know, go right back at him. And he's like, no, you got to get to the bottom of where they're coming from. And that's the way Jesus was. He didn't just answer them. He understood where they were coming from. And so when somebody says something, you have to, you know, the thing now is you go, do you know you did evil? And I'll go, do you know Jesus loves you? That just throws people off. You know, you don't answer their question with what they're wanting. You don't play their games. You don't play on their playing field. If you're playing on their playing field, you're going to lose because they have the crowd behind them. You play on God's playing field. You do it the way God wants. Pilate answered, am I a Jew? Your nation or even the chief priests delivered you to me. What did you do? And Jesus answered, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, my servants would have fought, and I might have not, and I might not be delivered unto the Jews. So he's like, if I were invested in this world, I would have, my servants would have fought these guys that came to get me. But I went freely. I'm not of this world. But now my kingdom is not from here. Then Pilate said to him, "Are you really a king?" And Jesus answered and said, "You say that I am a king, and for this purpose I have been born, and for this I have come into the world, that I might witness to the truth, and everyone being the truth hears my voice." And Pilate said, "What is the truth?" And saying this again, he again went out into the Jews and said to them, "I don't even find one crime in him. But there is a common custom to you that I should release one prisoner to you at Passover. Therefore you decide, should I release the king of the Jews to you?" And they all cried again, saying, "No, not this one, but Barabbas." But Barabbas was a robber. And so it's it's interesting. Barabbas was, you know, doing physical harm to people, and this guy was just saying words, and yet that was more egregious to them than someone who was physically actually abusing them. They hated him that much. It's crazy. And you got to go through the emotions. It's like some of them probably hated him because he was supposed to be their savior and he didn't do anything. "Hey, we threw down our jackets and palm leaves and you were supposed to save us from the Romans. You didn't do anything. You can't even this, you know." And then you're saying you're God and you're not doing anything. If you're God, then why are we still slaves here to the Romans? You know, it's like that must have been hard for the disciples because, he was obviously God because he was doing things that were amazing. God, you know, it's funny. I posed a question to the men this week because I really didn't have an answer for it. It was, you know, because a lot of times when we sing songs, sometimes we'll be like songs about, you know, Holy Spirit enter this place, and I'm thinking, yeah, but the Holy Spirit is already in me. And then Scott. And there was all the men had good answers, you know, because I think God is vast and there's answers for everything. But Scott said something about, you know, there's the inward spirit and the outward spirit, and then I was just praying about it, and it's when, like, God gives us blessings, but He gives the world miracles so that they can see His power and that they can know that He's real, and that's what Jesus did. He went around healing people. Obviously, you know, it was funny because even the priests, they're like, "This guy must have a devil." And Jesus is like, "Hey, I just healed that man. Why would a devil do that? You guys are nuts." He didn't say that. That was my own. Because Jesus would have done that. Actually, you know, He did go into the temple and throw those guys out. It's the reason you have to spend time with God is because we don't understand what's going on and it doesn't make sense to us. Because God does things weird, like He sends His Son down to be born in a stable. You know, the first people to come were shepherds. You know, he always picks people who are scoundrels to be His guys. I heard someone, I don't remember who it was, one of these secular guys was talking about Abraham, and he's like, Abraham was just this guy who was a young rich kid, and he just sat around all day doing nothing, and God came to him and said, "Hey, why don't you do my plan?" You know, there was nothing good about Abraham. He just was a sinner. That was even his God. His God was name was Sin. I think that's funny. You know, David was a shepherd, nothing important about him. And He raised him up. you know, to be a mighty king. And he messed up all over the place. But he understood that God loved him. He understood God's plan. So, oh, I messed up. God, forgive me. And that's always neat to see God just, he can redeem your mess ups, which is important because we mess up a lot. You know, it's kind of funny. To add to my story from the very beginning, this was actually probably even the most important part. The last day as I was leaving, the parking lot where the store was, a brother from Dallas called me and said, "Hey, I don't know what to do with this situation." And this is me. I'm sitting here in this parking lot thinking about buying this thing, being stupid and wasting money. And then this guy calls me up and needs counsel, you know, and immediately God speaks to me for him to give him a word. And that's how God, so it's obviously not me, because I'm thinking about doing something dumb, and a guy calls me up for counsel, and immediately God speaks to me through him. Because I was talking, and I don't know what I was going to say, and all of a sudden just all this stuff comes out, and he's like, "Oh, that's perfect. That's exactly what God's been telling me." And I'm like, "Hallelujah, that was God. That was definitely not me, because I'm just contemplating being stupid right now." And that's God. Isn't that funny? How God does that? You can just be an idiot, and God goes, "Hey, I'm ready to use you right now. Are you available?" "Yeah, I'm totally available." "All right, well, here you go. Let's do this." You're like, "Okay, good." So if you think you need to be somebody special to be used by God, you don't. You just need to be available to be used by God, and he'll do crazy things for you. You just need to trust him, because it's going to, a lot of things will seem weird or odd or dumb. Or the Bible says not to regret, and the only regret I ever have is, I know God told me one time my neighbor was dying, and God told me, "Go over and lay hands on her," and I wouldn't do it. And I still, to this day, regret not doing it. I don't know what would have happened if I'd done that. I will never know what happened if I had done that. But God told me to do it. I didn't do it. I was afraid. I was afraid of getting people's hopes up, looking like an idiot. That was stupid. I should have just gone over there. Who cares? Look like an idiot for God. You know, if it works out, they're going to think you're amazing. You know, if it doesn't, they'll just think you're an idiot. But who cares? You know. Just trust God that his plan, though it seems crazy, it's, you know, like David was saying, we only see this much, but his plan is vast, and he's got many moving parts, and he understands all of it. And just seek him. He's already put everything together. He's already laid everything out. All the right answers are already there. You just have to ask him, "Hey God, what's the right answer?" And that's what's brilliant. It doesn't have to be hard. People say, "Well, I need to go spend time with God and see if I can hear him." No. Almost every time I go to talk to God, I hear about him. I hear from him within the first 30 seconds to a minute. He gives me an answer. It's like, that's just, God doesn't take a long time. People are, "Well, I need to, you know, get humble, and I need to fast for 30 days, and then God will talk to me." No. God wants to talk to you right now. You're already his son or his daughter. Parents don't make their kids wait to talk to them unless they're having a conversation with somebody else. But, you know, if a kid has a problem and they come to the parent, even the parent will stop. "Hey, I need to fix my child's problem." The parent comes with a problem, and the parent will stop and they'll fix the problem. That's the way God is. We're nowhere near as good as God. I mean, we're evil. God is good. So he wants to talk to you. He's not going to make you wait for an answer. Now, his answer may be patient and wait. But he's going to tell you. He's going to give you an answer. So, I don't know. I don't think I'm special. So don't assume that I'm special and that he talks to me immediately. I think you guys are all had that same, you can have that same experience with God. Just ask him and he'll answer. Problem is half the time we doubt it. We're like, "Is that you, God? Do I need to put a fleece out? See if it gets wet in the morning or dry the next morning?" So it's good. I know I've had some experiences in my life that have proved who God is. So, I mean, I can tell you beyond a shadow of a doubt that God talks to you and what he says is true, and that you just need to trust him, because he does some things that it just seems stupid to me, and they're amazing and incredible. And I'm like, "That was you. There's no way that wasn't you. Because, you know, I mean, in your life, you go through things and you can doubt. And you go, well, everything seems to be falling apart. God, are you really real? Is this really real? I mean, is this thing real? Do you really spend time with us? Do you really come down and talk to us? And then he does something crazy in your life. And you're like, yeah, you're real. And then you don't ever doubt again. And then you can tell other people, yeah, I know. Because it's happened to me. I'm a witness that God is real, alive, active, loves you, wants you to be with him for eternity. It's the real deal. There's no other. It's funny. Christianity is the only religion where God lives in you. Is there any other religion where the God lives in you? It's the only religion where you can mess up and God still lets you into heaven. You know, all the other religions are like, you'd be perfect, or, you know, you come back as a mosquito next time, you know, or whatever. So, trust God. Be usable. You don't have to be perfect. You don't even have to be ready. Just say, yeah, you can use me, God, just as I am. And he'll do it. He just needs you to be usable. So, hallelujah. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for today. Thank you for your word that opens up to us more and more and more every time we read it. It doesn't even have to be a work. It could just be a... Just love you, God. You just share with us what we need. Thank you for using each and every one of us to bless others and to bless our families and to get your